Every town has a dark side. This is Andrew Fitzgerald from the Every Town podcast, where every single week we dive into insane and mysterious true crime stories, most of which you've never heard of. Stories like the bizarre disappearance of Tyler Davis in Columbus, Ohio, a 29-year-old father trying to find his way back to his hotel when he disappeared and was never heard from again, and Elizabeth Schoaf from Lugoff, South Carolina, who was abducted from her driveway by a madman and taken to his underground bunker in the woods. We give you all the details you're interested in hearing about without any fluff or fillers, because ain't nobody got time for that. We cover everything from psychopaths to poltergeists, so go check out the Every Town podcast, because every town, no matter how nice it may seem, has a dark side.
Hello, everybody. This episode of The Horror Show is brought to you by Bodo Winter Viola 1987, Tyler Buchanan. And I want to give a couple shout outs to some pals of the show, Caleb Melendez for hooking me up with a file last week. I kind of screwed up the recording. And it was a mess. So our show was down for a little while last week, and Caleb was like one of the only people that had a hard copy. I also want to give a shout out to David West, my homie. He's a good guy, and me and him were talking this week, so I just wanted to give him a shout out. And that is it, I believe. Let me just go through this. That's it. Okay. So this week we are doing Lords of Chaos. This is totally a different type of episode than we've ever done. I don't know. I think it's still kind of funny, but it's definitely different. It's a current movie. It's not terrible. We don't really pick it apart. We chose this because of how close, I mean, me and Joe love, music, and Norwegian black metal holds a special place in our hearts that you'll hear about. But it's a big factor of our friendship, and one of those linchpins that kind of kept us always communicating, which then brought the show to your ears. And so this is a cool episode. It's a little bit longer. It is not what we normally do, but it's cool. And one thing with the show recently is I think we've both realized that, you know what, it's time to just do whatever we want, because that's why we did it anyway. Like, a lot of these shows, it's weird. So we want to just do whatever we want and talk about whatever we want. And I think this is the start of it. So we'll see what we do next week. We're not really sure, but we'll see. And this is a great episode. I really do like it, but not as funny as The Happening, for sure. So check it out. Lords of Chaos. It's actually available to rent everywhere now. And it's definitely worth a watch. I would definitely tell you to watch it. If you're into black metal, music, metal, or Norwegian black metal, I would definitely say you have to see it just to see it. It's not the worst movie. It's pretty cool. So check it out. It's called Lords of Chaos, based on the book. And that's it. So enjoy this episode.
I was thinking about the adventures of Ash, about the misfortune of sinning kids at Crystal Lake. Became addicted straight away with the initial tape. God bless Betamax. VHS, holy like Amanda Kruger. I was introduced to genre flicks by Toby Hooper. I started craving more just like Larry the Looter. I collected VHS without commentary or bloopers. Throw computers, magazines, a bunch of stores. Spent my money on movies and begged my mom for more. I'd watch the boys kill those Astro bastards 5 times a day or even more. I loved the gore. Lionel and Paquita combined their lonely hearts. I was hellbound, Cenobites tore my soul apart. I've seen them all, from Dracula to Vertigo. Listen up, welcome to The Horror Show with Sean and Joe.
Hello everybody, and welcome to The Horror Show. Show that dissects, mutilates, dismembers, and butchers all of your favorite and not so favorite horror movies and other horror related events. I'm Sean.
I'm Joe.
I'm Necromancer.
I wish I had a cool name, but guess what? None of them do. So yeah. I'm not going to even make
up. Oh, there's so much to unpack. We covered Lords of Chaos, our first, I want to say first non-horror movie, but like there's more gore in this movie than other movies we've reviewed.
I mean, these guys' lives are a fucking nightmare, so you can classify it.
There is more gore in this than movies that we've seen that are, like, considered gory movies. It was insane.
I agree.
It was crazy. So we did Lords of Chaos, which is the story. I mean, this really just focused on mayhem.
Just mayhem.
Yeah, it didn't. I was expecting it to kind of encompass all of the Norwegian black metal scene, but it really just focuses on mayhem.
So I actually wanted to bring that up to you because at first I was kind of disappointed because, you know, we'll get into it in more detail, but Euronymous, the guitar player of Mayhem, he owns his own record store. It's a fact that like bands like Dark Throne, Immortal, Emperor, they all like hung out there all the time.
Yeah.
And I was like, why the fuck aren't they showing this? And I was like, oh yeah, because that's literally all they did was just, you know, fucking sit there and probably not socialize. So it made no point in putting them in this movie. You know, that's like probably exactly what happened. Like, why even bother throwing these guys in there? Just sit around, not talk to each other.
Dude, that's so funny that you said that, because I was talking to Barfany about this movie, and we were talking. She was like, "Yeah, there's no Dark Throne." I was like, "Wait, what?" Like, it didn't make sense to me. I hadn't seen the movie yet, though. And then I was like, "Well, I guess it doesn't matter because they really." What did they do besides just like, just like,
yeah, just exist. Like, what's the point of throwing them in there?
Yeah. Now black metal is specifically mayhem actually is kind of a part of, our little, I guess our story of friendship, because along with talking about horror movies at these fucking parties, at the college you went to, that was like 50% of our conversation, and the other 50% was probably about Norwegian black metal and specifically mayhem, like tales of mayhem, and that you are the one that introduced me to these bands.
Yeah, and that is true. And actually, if you go to I don't know if this is the case anymore because I know we've changed names and stuff. But if you went to Facebook and you clicked on "See Friendship Between Me and Sean," it was just a picture of Euronymous and Dead in their corpse paint. I don't even think either one of us uploaded that or tagged each other. But that is somebody had done that, and that is what would show up when you clicked "See Friendship,"
which is so fucking funny.
So at a young age. I broke my leg in 1997. This is kind of just a quick backstory.
Yeah, I wanted to
and
know.
I was bound in a wheelchair. I was bound in a wheelchair for 7 months, and I had always, you know, we grew up in the 90s, so I always liked grunge and like the harder stuff, and I always loved hip hop. But my uncle brought over like a bag full of CDs because I had nothing else to do, and it had Metallica, Anthrax, and Slayer in it, and that was harder and faster than anything I'd ever seen or ever heard, rather. And from that point on, I'd always try and find like stuff that was harder, darker, and scarier than Slayer. And once the internet became like more popular, I would go into like chat rooms, you know, before there was like Google,
right?
And everyone always mentioned bands like Mayhem or Emperor for like spooky, scary metal. So I just became fascinated with them. And bands like Mayhem, they had this mythos to them, which I do want to talk about in this movie, because like when I first started telling you about it, like it was almost considered fact that these guys ate this guy's brain in like a stew. That's totally not true. That's just an early internet rumor that people ran with. But like I believed it. Like these guys loved Satan. These guys were murderers. These guys burned churches. Like these guys were insane.
Right.
And what I like about this specific movie is that it humanized them. And it's like something that I knew all along. But like seeing, there's things I did not like about this movie. Don't get me wrong. I don't think it's a great movie. I don't think it's a perfect movie. But I love that it just like humanized Euronymous. Like, oh, this guy is just a fucking dweeb that's playing a character, like he's playing like a wrestling figure, keeping the kayfabe alive this entire time. And I do like that about that movie.
Yeah, I agree. The mythos, man. I remember
specifically, because that's how you like turned me on to him, was like, you were like, and I forgot about this part of the mythos until I watched the movie. I'd forgotten all about it because they did so many other stupid fucking things. but the breathing in the dead crow. And I remember vividly where I was when you told me that they would breathe in dead animals from a bag before a show. And I was like,
yeah, huffing it.
I was like, get the fuck out of here. I was like, that's the most insane thing. And the rest of like my group of friends just had no interest in that. But I was like, I need to know everything about these fucking assholes.
And that's how I was. And I would spend like many a drunken and stoned hours like in college trying to read about like these black metal bands and like obscure bands that would do all this weird shit.
Yeah, no, it's sorry, I was just checking this recording thing because the light went off for some reason. Yeah, man, it's definitely like a big part of that, of my, I don't want to say adolescence, but my younger years. And it definitely it's definitely a huge part of me. And it's all because of you in the basement, and Paul, too, just being like, you telling me and Paul being like, yeah, totally. and me being like, get the fuck out of here. Like, this is fucking out of control, man.
I mean, we thought, me and Paul, like, we thought corpse paint was the coolest shit. I mean, it's not, but we thought, like, looking at those guys, I mean, they did it so well, too. That, and the movie gets into that, too, but Uranus really knew how to market his product and just make people, like, buy into it.
100%. 100%. And I thought, that's one of the cooler parts of the movie.
Agreed. And I do kind of want to play devil's advocate to my own point, because I do very much believe that they were playing a character. But at what point, like say for instance, you and I were playing characters, right, that we were obsessed with death and stuff, right? That's fine. I would go along with it, and I'd be like, yeah, man, fuck, like, hail Satan, and like, I would just say all this stuff, right? But then at some point, I'm with you, and you start sniffing a bag with dead animals, and I'm not like, well, I'm getting the fuck out of here. Like, at what point does it, like, cross over and you actually are a fucking psychopath? Just by association. Right, you know what I mean? Right. Like, if I was in a car with somebody, or if, forget that. If somebody mailed me a crucified mouse, I would fucking have them arrested immediately. You know? Like, I would not ask them to come join my band. So, like, I do think a lot of it was playing a character, but I also think a lot of them had a couple screws loose.
Yeah, no, there's definitely, yeah, I think it's just fucking young, stupid people. I mean, even if I was younger, though, that would have bugged me out. But it was just, I guess, I don't know. I don't know what it was, because it was clearly like looking at American metal, heavy metal, right? And the depiction of it in media, probably. This is my guess, right? So they see Ozzy and things like this, and how the media is like, oh, he bites the head off of bats and whatever, he's satanic. And then I think they just took that and just acted, thought it was real, so they started doing it. But then you combine like somebody like Dead, who was clearly mentally ill, like... Yes. Severely mentally ill.
That's not even an argument.
No, and like most likely a psychopath or sociopath or something. And then he joins the group, and they're kind of like, oh yeah, he's really good at playing this part. Like, I don't know how it works. I don't know how it works, but it's just all like, peer pressure.
I feel like this episode is just going to be me arguing with myself, because after I just said what I just said, you said, I think it's just youth. And, like, I could totally see Paul huffing a dead animal and me being like, man, it's just Paul being Paul. So, you know what? I take it all back.
Right, right. I mean, there's shit Paul's done that I'm like, what the fuck? But I've never stopped hanging exactly out with him.
Yeah. So I disregard my prior point.
However, if Paul, like, if your first meeting with Paul was him being like, here's a dead mouse I crucified,
that is true. Yes, that's
you, you probably wouldn't be like, hey, you want to come over? But anyway, man, this is an interesting, this is gonna be an interesting episode, and I don't think we're gonna go scene by scene totally in it, because it really is just this history of mayhem, so we can talk about it. But we will discuss the movie. So this is directed.
I want to ask you, before we dissect the plot and go scene by scene,
sure,
Did you like this movie? Did you think it was a good movie?
I feel like I'm just in this weird, because I've been biting. Oh my God. I've been waiting so long to talk to Joe about this. I'm kind of in this weird indifferent state with it. I think it's because it's a topic I'm fascinated with and I really like, and I kind of know, it's an exciting movie to watch in a way. Like you're just like, cause you just know all the players and you're like, oh, like I know this story. And there's elements to the seeing it play out in a movie, that make it, that almost changed my entire perspective of the stories that I've heard where I'm like, oh shit. Like you said, like, he's just this, like, Euronymous was just this dweeb. Now, I think they painted Euronymous as, like, a saint. Like, they made him, like, a martyr in the movie, which I don't think is
true. They did. They did. And I'm glad that you said that. And to the listeners, like, I will jump around like this. But if you've read up on the topic and, like, you're well-versed in it, by all accounts, when Euronymous was murdered, nobody really seemed that upset. And a lot of people, I'm serious. And a lot of people that he was close with were just like, yeah, Euronymous like threatened a lot of people. And like, he was a dickhead. Like, we're not that shocked by this. And like, even members in Mayhem, and I'm drawing a blank on the guy's fucking name. He was the bass player before Varg went in. Occultus was his name.
Yeah.
He left the band because Euronymous kept threatening him, and Euronymous was one of his old childhood friends. So I don't think Euronymous was this I just think he was an asshole, like kind of hard to deal with and like,
yeah,
wanted things his way. And he was way more controlling. Like, they made him controlling in the movie, but I think he's probably like unbearable. Now, does that mean he deserved to be murdered? Of course not. But I don't think he was like this goody two shoes like they made him out to be.
I believe Varg is the villain of the movie. And would you agree with that?
Yeah, I don't understand what else you could possibly call him. He's like the main antagonist from the
get-go. Sure. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So that's definitely okay. So we agree with that. So, but instead, like, they could have had him be that way and portrayed Euronymous still as a dickhead, I think. But it's still very anti Varg and very pro Euronymous. Like, Varg does things, and Euronymous is like they'll occasionally be like, Euronymous is like, oh, that's awesome. But a lot of times he has this look on his face like, oh, I don't know if we should be doing this. And I don't know if that was the case.
Well, so I can speak on that because by many accounts from guys in Dark Throne and Emperor and Varg, they all have spoken, and it's on paper, that a lot of the times people were like, hey, Euronymous, let's go do this shit that you're promoting. And he'd be like, sure, guys. And like, be very apprehensive about it.
Oh, really? Well, that's good then. Okay, so that paints a good picture. I mean, he still wasn't a saint. I mean, I'm pretty sure he was like...
Oh, there's no doubt he was an asshole. Yeah. It's because these guys had like no social interaction. But whatever.
All right. So, so it's definitely an interesting... It's a really interesting movie. And I would...
You know what I would love to... I would love to speak... So, the director is Jonas Åkerlund. He's directed a billion fucking music videos, including Madonna. He's won Grammys. He directed the movie Spun. And he was the drummer for Bathory in the early 80s. So he like directly influenced a lot of these guys. But I would love to sit down and talk with him because he once directed Candlemass's Bewitched music video, which features Dead like as an extra in it. So the music video for Candlemass is a... Their singer is this huge fat white guy with the curliest hair of all time. He's like really puffy. And he's wearing a robe and he just points at people during the music video and like they become bewitched or possessed. And they're just supposed to like, you know, mope around with their mouths open and look like they're possessed, right? And Dead, a very like a teenage Dead is in this music video. And he is acting his balls off. Like, he's always front and center, and like his eyes are always rolled to the back of his head and his mouth. Like, nobody's looked more dead than Dead does in this music video. So for people that want to see this, look up Candlemass Bewitched. But the director of this movie directed that music video, and I would just love to ask him about that. Like, did you have any inkling that this guy was a genuine psychopath? Which I'm sure the answer is yes. I'm sure the answer is yes when you watch that back. Like, holy shit, look at this guy. But it's just kind of interesting that it's full circle.
And I do think this movie had a lot of humor in it, too. I think this movie, I think this movie had a couple of objectives. One was to piss Varg off more than they could ever imagine. I think
it does seem like this was written with that sole intention. Just like, hey, Varg, fuck you. Like, even the kid that they cast to play Varg is one of the shittiest actors I've ever seen in a big name movie. And like, I feel that might be intentional. Just like, just find anybody and stick him in here. This kid sucks. Varg sucks. It's perfect.
I completely agree. I think it was entirely intentional. and I think that was one of their objectives. And I think the other objective was one objective was to show, I think, that a lot of these kids were just like way more not innocent, but just out of their element, I guess. They got in over their heads, yes. A lot of it. So it's
just to interrupt real quick to the listeners, Shay has been screaming for the last 7 minutes, so it'll probably pick up.
It's fine. And then I think the third objective was to also be like, look how stupid these fucking idiots are. Like, can you
believe? I agree. I think it was more of just like, hey, let's stop romanticizing this because these guys were fucking stupid.
Yeah. And it's never more present than when they introduce Dead into the movie. So let's just get into it. You got Rory Culkin, who off the bat, I was a little bit upset with the movie just because they cast the most American actors to play these guys.
Agreed. I personally would have liked it if it was all Norwegians in subtitles, but whatever.
Or even just guys with accents or anything, really. I mean, it took you out of it just from the minute Rory Culkin starts talking and is like, I'm Euronymous. And you're like, what?
I thought the movie was off to a shaky start. When he was doing voiceovers, like Clarissa Explains It All. Like,
yes.
Hey, I'm Euronymous, and this is my story. Like, come on, man.
I came here to bring murder, death, suffering.
And when you say things like that, you're like, no, you didn't. What the fuck? Like,
yeah. We watch Mayhem practicing in their parents' basement while announcing
that. I like that.
I did too.
Because right off the bat, it humanizes it, and it showed Euronymous's little sister come in and be like, "You guys suck." And it was like, yeah, you know what? Like, that's probably the feeling by a lot of people. And like, these guys weren't from the get-go these like supreme evil, like mythical band.
Yeah.
They're just weirdos experimenting with noise.
Yeah, and they're in their mom's basement, and I love the juxtaposition in this scene where it's them in the basement and Rory Culkin, Euronymous. Is announcing the group like as if they're like superstars, and he's like, on guitar, Necro Butcher, and they're in a basement at their mom's house, and he goes, and on drums, Mannheim, and Mannheim's sticks get stuck in the drop ceiling tiles.
Yeah,
it was so perfect.
No, I like that a lot.
Yeah,
I like that a real lot.
And
I do want to say in terms of music and black metal, what's unfortunate about all this mythos about them is that Euronymous was a really good guitar player, and that sound is like he was doing that. He was playing those chords that way, like before anybody else was, and that birthed that entire sound. So it's really a shame that kind of gets lost in the shuffle there.
Yeah, and that's, I forget who was talking about it. It might have been the director of this movie. It might have been somebody else, but they were like, the whole thing was fucked up because he was like, Euronymous thought that he needed all of this bullshit, like drama around him to get attention for themselves. And he was like, and literally his guitar playing alone would have brought that attention. Eventually.
It would have spoken volumes. And then you add in Hellhammer, who's one of the fastest metal drummers I've ever heard to this day.
Yeah.
Like, that's why Mayhem's famous. It's not because you guys are fucking assholes. It's because you guys can play well. Like,
yeah,
if you didn't have the talent, nobody would give a shit.
Yeah, exactly. And I wish I remembered who said it. It was in one of the documentaries or an interview I read. But yeah, they were like, all they had to do was make music, and they would have been insanely famous. It would have been no comparison. We also meet John, the photographer. A friend introduces him. And hey guys, this is John. And he's like, oh, you could call me Metallium. I love that everyone in this scene had the dumbest fucking names on earth. Even the fucking chubby photographer, like Metallium. Are you?
And if you look up, real pictures of this guy, they nailed it. They look exactly alike the real guy and the actor.
And one thing, even though it might not be 100% accurate or whatever it is that, however this movie is, I do enjoy that they included as much as they could for fans of the music to be like, oh shit, like. They included that guy?
Yes, they did. They did. And if you, like me and Sean, were fascinated by this, I'm sure you've gone on YouTube and spent hours trying to find, like, old footage and stuff, which there is very limited. And, like, you know, you can see the footage of, like, the house that they rehearse in and, like, the forest. And, like, they really did a good job recreating.
That's what I thought, too.
I really like that a lot about this movie.
Yeah, they're a lot of, like, the famous pictures you've seen online and a lot of
Clips. The one with the mayhem spray paint with them sleeping under it. Like, they do that right from the get-go.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's a really cool, just like a nod to, I think, everyone that knows the mythos. And I think this movie's cool because I think fans of black metal appreciate it to an extent. And then, unfortunately, we're going to get a lot of people just posting on Instagram, like, true Norwegian black metal. And at which point I want to be like, well, I wouldn't go that far to make them to put them on a pedestal, because they're all kind of scumbags.
Correct.
Hellhammer joins the band shortly after. The movie, the pace of the movie is really fast up until like the halfway point, and then it kind of slows down a bit. But at the beginning, it's just Euronymous, Rory Culkin's character, just narrating, and he's like, well, then we got rid of our drummer, and then Hellhammer joins. And Hellhammer's another guy that they just made very, very innocent in the movie, but it was fun. It was for comedic effect, and I'm honestly fine with it, because he literally would just constantly walk in on, like, Euronymous and Varg being like, "Let's fucking burn down
plotting,
a church.
let's blow up the city." And Hellhammer is like, "Well, I'll see you later." like pull on his collar and leave.
Which, you know what, whatever, like, Hellhammer doesn't really have a part in the movie, so it's fine if you want to use him for comedic effect. It was fine, but, like, Hellhammer's a piece of shit, so whatever.
Yeah, I mean, make no mistakes, like, I can separate music from the people. I think Hellhammer's a great drummer. I love that first De Mysteris album, but if you read anything that Hellhammer said from, like, 1995 on, he's a terrible, terrible human being, and it doesn't appear he either knows or remembers a single thing that he says, because it contradicts everything. The comments that he makes are very offensive.
Which is par for the course with these guys. Like, if you read interviews, almost all of them just contradict themselves constantly.
It is baffling. And the supreme being Varg, it's unbelievable that a guy can't get an alibi straight and, like, keep his fucking... I mean, I guess in Norwegian, when you can only serve 21 years in prison, you don't really need one. So, I guess he doesn't need to think like an American criminal would, you know, to cover his ass. But he cannot keep a story straight.
No, it never does, and it never has. On his YouTube channel, he, for some reason, is always like, for those of you... Like, he tells the story of the murder on his personal YouTube channel. Every week he does it. And every week he's like...
Every week. And he talks so... I've never heard a more proper-speaking human being. Like, he should be reading, like, Tolstoy to you, like, an audiobook.
He absolutely should. And he's just like... Every week he's like, I'm so tired of answering this question. Varg, stop answering it then. But the fact is, it's all Varg has to talk about. So
I know.
So he just keeps telling the story, the same story of the murder. But... somehow changes it every time.
And imagine being tired of talking about something, but then making a YouTube channel to specifically talk about that thing every fucking week.
Every
week. That's why these guys are such assholes. And you know what? We'll see this later in the movie, but it's no secret that Varg is affiliated. Like, when you say the name Varg, you're like, oh, that guy's a fucking Nazi.
Yeah.
And, like, that guy always, he's surrounded by swastikas and stuff. But, and I'm not saying this to downplay him. Like, I just think he's a fucking moron. Like, I don't even think he, like, understands the extent of what he's, like, promoting. You know what I mean? Like, he has those banners of the Nazis, and, like, when the news people guys ask him about it, like, he doesn't know a single thing about anything. He's just like, yeah, that's because I'm real evil. And they're like, well, it kind of just makes you an asshole, a fucking weirdo. And he's like, oh, well, never mind that then. You know, like, he's just, like, confused. Like,
dude, I was going to say that. I think I've had this, obviously, this homegrown concept of what Varg was from all the stories and from his YouTube. We have an idea of who Varg is and where his mentality is. Watching his story play out in this movie has changed it a lot for me. And it doesn't make him better or worse or anything. He's still just a piece of shit. But I think he really is just so oblivious to everything. I don't think he understands anything he's doing or saying. Like you said,
he's a sociopath and yeah. B, a loser that just was like vying for affection. Like nobody accepted this guy his entire life.
Agreed.
And like, we'll see a scene in this movie where he goes and sees Mayhem live. And then after the show, he's like, hey, you guys rocked. And Euronymous is like, fuck the Scorpions, which A is baffling because the Scorpions directly influenced all those guys. But yeah. he's like, hey, fuck the Scorpions, and doesn't shake his hand. And now whether that really happened or not, who knows? Because I highly doubt that somebody would remember that one specific interaction and be like, oh yeah, that was Varg. But like, regardless, I think it was to hammer home the fact that Varg had nobody, he was a loser, and he was just trying to fit in any way he can. And he finally found acceptance with these guys who were, you know, playing a part in being evil. And just combining that with Varg's, like, mental illness and sociopathic tendencies, like, it just boiled over. It was just, it became too much.
All bad combination. And I do think that they did behave like that. Like, this is, again, like, why I think Euronymous is a giant piece of shit. Because I had read an interview that Darkthrone came up to Mayhem at one point. Like, they met somewhere, and Darkthrone was like, wow. Like, and obviously, Darkthrone, a big part of who Mayhem was. And Darkthrone came up to him, or one of the members, and was like, hey, man, like, you guys are awesome. And Euronymous was like, hey, go fuck yourselves. And they were like, oh, all right, like, see you later.
Yeah, but, like, I still feel like, I don't know. I might be giving him too much credit, but he could still be playing that character. Like there was once a story where Chris Jericho was like a heel, and he was in an elevator with a dad and his son who were both Chris Jericho fans. And they're like, hey, can I get like a picture? And he was like, no, go fuck yourself. Cause he's playing a heel. And he's like, I'm not going to break character because these guys want my picture. Like, I'm one of the baddest guys right now. So Euronymous might have had that same mentality. Like, I'm
and not especially because that mentality is really easy. That mentality is a nice, like honestly, if I had built a character around the show where I was like a raging piece of shit, I would
it's
be happy.
Easy.
I would be
just not respond to anyone and just be like, hey, fuck off. And then like, let it simmer. Like,
I'd be happy to portray that in real life. Also, I would be more than happy to keep that up at all times. Like, I would never let my guard down. Like, cause that would just be, I'd be like, wow, this is nice to do. Like, you know, Hellhammer joins and we start seeing the band come together. Euronymous is like, we needed a lead singer. And somehow they they get an application in the mail from Dead. And
they put out flyers that were like looking for vocalists, and Dead responded.
Yeah, who's from Sweden? He sends
in a band
them.
Called Morbid, a death metal band. Oh, I do want to point out all these guys started off in death metal or thrash metal bands,
right?
And then just drastically switched their style once Euronymous started playing that way.
Yep.
Like Darkthrone released a full death metal album, and then decided to like ditch, and it sounded great. And then they decided to make all their like next couple of albums sound like they were recording in a fucking cave.
It's so weird. It's such a weird thing. But I don't know. I don't know. So your Darkthrone, you're more of the music historian here. So Darkthrone started before Mayhem, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They released Soulside Journey, which is pure death metal.
Okay.
1991. And they were very young. And then they released a black metal album in 92, which was before Mayhem released like their magnum opus, De Mysterious, which really had the black metal sound. So Dark Throne was doing it before they were.
That's what I thought. Okay. But they probably had to have gotten.
But Mayhem released Death Crush. Mayhem released the Death Crush EP in 87. So Mayhem was putting out music, but it wasn't real. Like Death Crush had like black metal vocals, but it wasn't really black metal. Like it was very thrashy riffs and stuff.
So interesting. Yeah. Cause like I can't, the subgenres of these, I just blend together for the most part for me. It's very hard to differentiate for me. Except I do know the whatever. I'm not going to get into it. Why am I talking about this? So Dead is from Sweden. Oh, and he sends them a package with a crucified mouse inside. A dead mouse that's been crucified, as well as a tape. And immediately Necrobutcher is about to just throw it out the fucking window because he's fucking normal human being. And Euronymous is like, no, man.
He is by far the most normal one in real life and throughout this whole movie, which is alarming because I've seen pictures of Necro Butcher cutting his arm at concerts, but like throughout this entire thing. And like in all the interviews, he's always like, hey, man, this is fucked up. Like, we got to stop this.
Yeah. And so Necro Butcher is about to throw it out the window and Euronymous is like, no, man, save it. Like, what would make you want to save that? Like, I would honestly just think it's a prank.
You would absolutely think.
But they put it in and Euronymous tells us, the viewers, he's like, I've never heard anything like these vocals before.
And he's right, dude. He's right. Who's sounded like Dead either before or after?
Yeah.
Like that guy, he's 21 years old. He literally sounds like a fucking corpse. A reanimated corpse singing. He does, dude. Like, I've never heard, if you listen to Mayhem's Live in Leipzig live album, like, I've never heard anything like that in my entire life.
I think it's really cool because what I like about him is, I've been going back through it because I haven't listened to the black metal in a few years because I had all the MP3s and stuff. And then when I switched to Spotify, I just didn't really get back into listening to it. And The one thing that I do notice is his vocals are, there's a lot of bad black metal vocals. That's what I'm going to say. There's a lot of bad black metal vocalists.
That black metal is it takes a certain ear. Like if somebody was just getting into metal, like I would not recommend starting here.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. But like Dead did it to I love Dead's vocals. Like I think they're, I love listening to them, but there's a lot of black metal bands with vocalists that are just, they're trying to copy Dead, it seems like, and it's bad. It's just fucking bad.
Sure.
Well, we talk about it sometimes when we discuss it, where it's like, there's guys that do it and it's just monotone though. It's just monotone, gravelly. Yeah,
and there's some that sound like an orc fucking dying in the woods. Like Burzum, like Burzum's vocal. Some people love Burzum's vocals. I mean, sometimes they're just grating. Like
I don't know
how he's making that noise.
My revelation after re-listening to some death metal this week was, or black metal, was I fucking hate Burzum so much. Dude, so many tracks of just like...
It's honestly offensive that he's trying to tell us that he's saying words. Because he's not. There's no lyrics to like half of those
songs. No. You know?
He's just like...
I completely agree. But yeah, they play the tape, they invite him out, they're like, this is the guy, so they pick him to join the band. They go pick him up from the train station, and from the jump they make Dead out to be this lunatic, which he was. He gets, while they're driving, he just opens the car door and gets out of the car and picks up a dead fox from the side of the road.
And that, by all accounts, is a true thing that happened.
Yes. Yep. And then I also,
which is what I was saying earlier, like I don't, like Paul would not do that. Like I was saying, well, maybe I would be okay with some things because I've seen people do maniac things. But if somebody made me stop the car to huff a dead fox, there's no way they're getting back in my car. Like I'm
I'm driving the fuck away.
Now the actor that played Dead, I don't know how he did it, but he portrayed like a lost soul perfectly.
It's
like he always looked solemn and like he was depressed. Like he played it perfectly.
Yeah.
And you know who that is? The actor?
No.
It's Val Kilmer's son.
Holy shit. He looks just like him. That's so crazy.
I know.
That's
Amato tipped me off to that. He was like, oh, Val Kilmer's son was great. And like, what the fuck are you talking about? And I looked it up. I was like, holy shit. Like now it looks just like him. But
yeah.
But yeah, he was great. He was great.
Oh, he was awesome. Oh, he was so good. But yeah, and then we immediately cut to Dead. They end up buying a house or renting a house that becomes, I think they call it Hell House. And this is where they'll do all of their practicing and rehearsals that create the Sound of Mayhem.
And you can YouTube this. You can actually see rehearsal footage in that very house.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so crazy. But I do love, like, again, there's these little nuances that make you realize, like, that make you laugh and realize how stupid these kids are. Like, Dead has a cardboard casket that he sleeps in. Like, it's cardboard. Like, it's fucking, like, he made a little fake casket just to seem more evil. Like, these kids are geeks. Like,
and the best part about that is they're doing that for each other. It's not like the media was like running away with a story that this kid's sleeping in a casket. It was just literally Euronymous and Hellhammer that would know this.
Yeah, and he's just sleeping in a cardboard casket. It cracks me the fuck up. We get a little insight that, you know, that Dead was bullied and he was beaten bad as a kid and he died for a
That's
little
true.
Bit.
He was. Yeah, he was legally dead for a bit, and from that point on, that's why he became obsessed with death, which it's really depressing when you think about it.
Yeah, it's really depressing, but really probably what it was he probably had like a fucking traumatic brain injury from the beating.
I'm sure of it. Yeah.
And that's what really caused this. It's like CTE, right? Like, because the way he starts behaving after that is not just like...
It's alarming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
like it, in the scene where that happens right now, Euronymous goes to wake Dead. Like he's... Euronymous notes, he's like, this guy was always depressed, like always fucking depressed. And he goes into his room and there's a fucking dead cat hanging from the fucking ceiling. And Euronymous is like, yeah, he hated cats more than anything. And the way he gets Dead out of bed is to be like, hey, man, there's a cat outside. Want to go kill it? And Dead is like, jumps up and is like, absolutely. Yeah,
because he's pleading with Dead to get up. He's like, why are you always acting like this? And Dead's literally just laying there like he's dead with his mouth open. And like, I'd be so annoyed. Like, I know you can fucking hear me. Like, just acknowledge me. But yeah, and then he's like, hey, there's a cat outside. And Dead's like, whoa, jumps, goes outside.
And we get a little weird scene where where Dead is asking Euronymous to kill him. And it's really just to show you that how depressed Dead really was, which if you didn't.
Well, and before that, Euronymous was like, why don't you just shoot yourself in the head? Like, if you're really that depressed. And I think they put that in the movie because there's a lot of accounts that were like, Euronymous was like encouraging this guy to kill himself like from the beginning.
Yeah.
Which goes along with Euronymous being a piece of shit part.
I think they tried to, I think without painting Euronymous as a piece of shit, that's how they included it. That part of it to try to at least show it.
But I feel the same way.
But I think Euronymous was much more vocal about telling Dead to kill himself.
I do. And that's what, like, again, I keep saying this, but that's what I really do like about this movie is because it plants that like doubt in your head. And I think that's kind of a credit to Rory Culkin, too, because when he's saying these things, it kind of seems like he's still saying it for shock value. And that could very well be what happened in real life. Like, this guy might be like Euronymous might have been saying these things to Dead and then feeling bad about saying it, but also trying to keep the character up. You know what I mean?
Dude,
and Rory kind of plays that. He's like, he says these things and you see like the grimace in his eye, like, fuck, why did I say that?
I completely,
it's kind of like conflicted. Yeah,
I completely agree with you, because just like you said, like, fucking Dead was sleeping in a cardboard casket just to impress these. Like, everyone was putting on an act for each other. So Euronymous, again, still had to stay in that character of like, I don't give a shit about anyone. Like, kill yourself.
And is that excusable? No. But like, if that is the case, I kind of understand. And it's possible he felt bad about saying those things.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. Probably the least likely thing that happened, though, is when we see them finally put on corpse paint for the first time, and they're having a party at their house, and the most attractive women show up to this party full of smelly, disgusting metalheads. I have seen metalhead groupies, and they don't look like this. And they all
So, Sean, I will have to say that main blonde girl that Euronymous ends up banging.
Yeah.
There are pictures of her online and she looks exactly like that.
That's crazy. That's crazy. I don't know if there was a group of them, though. Maybe Euronymous got one of them. But I don't know. It's like a caravan of women show up to this metalhead party. And it's insane. The party looked great, though. I mean, the party. I mean, besides the, shooting fire.
The party does look, well, the party looks like our parties, like, no doubt. Like, that's how we partied, you know? Yeah. Just a bunch of disgusting guys listening to metal and getting way too drunk, you know, throwing up everywhere.
Yeah, so maybe.
And I do love that Euronymous is like, hey, man, fucking women is not black metal. Like, that's what posers do. And, like, of course he said that, because there's no way this guy's getting laid ever.
Yes, 100%. 100%.
And then he finally does get laid at the end of the movie, which I'm sure is, I honestly believe this is how it happened in real life. Like, this guy was just never getting laid, and he was always, like, mad about other people getting laid. He's like, fuck groupies, that's not evil. And he finally gets laid, and he cuts his hair, because he's probably like, oh, wait, this is awesome. Like, maybe I don't need to be an asshole all the time.
Dude. Dude, that, I didn't even think about that. 100% why. 100% what happened. 100%, because that is the turning point in everyone's life, when they're like,
losing his virginity at 25, and then being like, wait a second,
I've been doing this all wrong. Yes. Everything I live for is wrong. This I gotta stop this. I gotta look normal. That's 100% what happened. So the next day after the party, we see Dead walking through the woods. And again, all these based on like these weird stories that we've read for years. And I remember reading about this where he watches Dead walking through the woods and he starts taking off all of his clothes. And you see Euronymous being like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? And then it comes time for their first live show and you see Dead digging up those clothes from a fucking hole in the ground, and he wanted it to be he was playing a part, and he kind of knew what he was doing, and he just had this like morbid, and he has clothes that have been rotted and buried to make him look even more evil.
Which is true by all accounts.
Yeah, that's from the stories we've read. And they go to do their.
And I also love this scene because he huffs the dead animal before, which is also what we've read, that before he wanted the stench of death like in his nostrils while he performed. But I love this scene because he did that, and the reaction of the band is like, dude, are you really fucking doing this? Like the reaction was somewhat normal. They should have stopped him, but the reaction was just kind of like, get the fuck out of here. Like,
absolutely.
And like one of them takes a sniff to like see if it's really that, like,
yeah,
I don't know. I like that scene.
I loved it. And again, like, that was one of those stories I remember specifically where we were when you told me about him doing that, and I was like, get the fuck out of here, like, that can't be real. And then, like, of course I go online and take everyone on a message board's word for it.
Sure, yeah. I mean, we all did.
But the way you read it, you know, on these stories is like the whole band was like fucking huffing corpses. And The movie's really, so great.
They really managed to paint, like, you know, prior to this movie, prior to the book, they really managed to paint that these guys were just evil, evil beings that were thrown from the pits of hell. Like, they had no family. They were just thrown from the pits of hell here to create havoc. Right.
And, like, oh, you and me were talking about those photos that they took. Like, because that's all we had to base them on, right? Were these photos that they had taken.
Yeah. Well, how do you have so many swords and so many, like, castles? Like, they're always posing in dungeons with these medieval weapons. Like, it does not make sense.
And then in the movie, we do see it, and it's just kind of like, they're just, like, in these, like, shitty, like, sewer pipes, and then the cops come and are like, hey, get the fuck out of here.
Exactly. And that makes so much more sense. Yeah. I mean, all this time, I just thought that, like, Norway was all castles.
Yeah, and we're looking at these pictures of them with the mayhem spray painted, and it looks so grimy, and like you said, like, they're just living in sewers and coming out to perform this music. And in reality, they're just like, hey, you want to go down there and take some fucking metal photos? Like,
yeah, their photographer is honestly an unsung hero, because he nailed it. He got every shot to look exactly how they want it. And that's what this movie does, too, is they show, like, them getting into the poses and then the pictures being taken.
Oh, it's so funny. Like, it's so funny. Yeah, yeah. It's so funny, yeah. Yeah, and
that infamous one with Varg.
Oh, I,
like,
love that.
One eyeball out. Yep. Like, you see that picture all the time, and it turns out that's how he didn't want to be spotted when he's ratting on himself to the newspaper.
That's my favorite scene in the movie, because it just encapsulates how stupid he was. Like, he's like, yeah, I don't want to show my face. And they're like, okay, can you just show us your eye? And he, like, shows his fucking face.
It's his entire fucking face. Nobody on the planet would not be able to identify him.
Oh, man, I can't wait to,
like,
get to work.
These guys wear corpse paint, Sean. That hides your face. Like, put on your fucking corpse paint and do the interview. People will have a way, much harder time trying to identify you.
Oh, dude, yeah. Jesus, I mean, Christ. All the photos of these guys in their corpse paint and they're underexposed and super dark, all you see is white. You don't see any details of the face. Like,
yeah.
It's a perfect.
That's another. Yeah, Varg is such a fucking idiot. But that's another thing. We're talking about how they all have these medieval weapons and castles. Like, all their album covers were them in corpse paint holding candelabras, like, with, like, no lighting. So you just see their face and they're, like, screaming at the sky. Those are great fucking album covers. I've never seen a candelabra in my life. I mean that sincerely. Like, I've never seen a real candelabra at any home. And all these guys have them to pose with. It's unbelievable.
They were probably all sharing the same one. They were probably.
That's true. They probably were.
Probably like, can we borrow that candelabra from your mom's house again?
But that's so fucking funny to think to use that. Because it is, like, I don't know, it's so effective to hold that.
We're going to keep saying it, but just it, from what we had to base these guys on, you were just like, man, these guys are so fucking evil. They're holding candelabras and castles.
Exactly.
Oh, man, but it's really just an antique from their grandma's house.
Yeah, that's 100% right. All sharing the same one. Yeah. Probably taking the pictures on the same day.
So after we had to move this. So after the first performance, which, you know, we see Dead cutting himself, spraying the crowd with the blood, and the whole band being like, oh, what the fuck? What the fuck is this? We meet.
He's cutting himself deep.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, and they showed it in the movie, too. It was wild. They go out to eat after, and we meet Christian, who is Varg. And he's wearing the scorpion patch, and he, like, goes up. And it's like, you guys are so fucking great. And Hieronymus is like, go fuck yourself. Because he's listening to the scorpion patch. And possibly one of the funniest scenes is Varg then going home and cutting off the scorpion patch and then, like, fencing with himself.
Fencing?
In corpse paint. Do you think that happened?
You know what? Yes.
Yes. I do. 100%. Varg is such a tool. Of course that's what he did.
You know what I loved most about that? You know what I love most about that diner scene, though? Mm. Is that it cuts to Dead, who has cut himself terribly,
yeah,
and he duct taped his arms,
yep,
which is kind of like comedic relief. Like, these guys, you know, they're not getting medical attention. But again, Val Kilmer's son is playing dead so well because he's clearly in pain and clearly like, holy shit, like, what did I just do to myself? And Euronymous is like, hey man, are you all right? And Dead just kind of looks at him like, what the fuck am I doing? And like, it was honestly chilling because this guy's like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, he's like spiraling out of control.
Yeah. And there's great moments with Dead where the way they use their facial expressions in this movie is really good. It's exactly what we talk about in other movies, like The Happening, right? Like, Mark Wahlberg, instead of just using facial expressions, has to be like, oh my God, what? Like, what? No. Instead of just using his fucking face to say that. And this movie's the opposite. And they all can make these facial expressions where you can read, especially Dead. Like, you see Dead just, he's like, I don't really want to do this, but like, I fucking hate my life. Like,
it was chilling. It was like the moment where he's like, I'm just going to end it now. Like, I just cut myself. I'm in pain.
Yeah. And that is the next scene, man. Dead goes home, goes to Hell House, slits his wrists. It's like one of the most insane scenes ever. And like, we talk about this in the mythos of the band, and I don't want to say we joke about it, but like, you know what I mean? Like, we glorify it in a way, and we're like, oh yeah, like the lead singer killed himself, and like, think nothing of it. And then you see this scene and you're like, oh, that's rough. Like that's not very fun. Like, that's not a fun thing to talk about.
It's not. And it's an infamous scene because, there is a picture of it, and it was used on a bootleg live album because Euronymous took a picture of it. But seeing him do that, they did not hold back on the gore, and it was rough.
It was brutal.
It was rough. You feel for the fucking guy. You know?
Absolutely. Like, there's no doubt about it. It's not funny. It's not metal at all. It's nothing.
No, like, I honestly felt sad. Like, I felt for the kid.
Yeah, I did too.
He's only 22. You know, he should have gotten help. Like, somebody around him should have gotten this
absolutely
kid, because there is clearly warning signs. And the way that he does it, for those that don't know, he slits both of his wrists, you know, upwards, very deep, and then he cuts his own throat, which is fucking chilling.
And they show this. They fucking show this in detail.
And that is what happened, and you could see his slit wrist in the photo. And he did write a suicide note. Now, people think it just says, sorry for all the blood. He wrote a legit note, and you can read it online. It's like paragraphs long. Which,
oh, is it?
Almost, yeah, it is. It's depressing. You know, I don't know why you want to do that to yourself, but
yeah, yeah.
I read it. But it's almost impressive that he was able to write all this with two slit wrists and a slit throat. But he does. And then he shoots himself because it was taking too long.
Yeah.
So this is a guy that he needed help.
Very, very, a lot of help. And I love the way that they, throughout the movie, so the story is Dead kills himself. Euronymous shows up. The door's locked, so he has to go in through the window. He finds the body. It takes him hours before he calls 911 to get Euronymous help. So the story is, right? And it takes him that long because he picks up a camera and starts taking photographs of the corpse and positioning the fucking weapons in a way to take a better photo and all this stuff. And that before he finally called 911. But as the
now that is, in my opinion, inexcusable. Like, that's
agreed.
Not normal behavior.
No.
That
no.
makes, I mean, I could see an argument that maybe Euronymous was in shock and then maybe was like, well, this is what he wanted. Like, maybe I'll honor him. Like, you know, cause Dead always talked about shit like that. So there's possibilities that Euronymous tried to justify it, but I personally find it inexcusable.
It's inexcusable. But I also think maybe, like we said, he's in this character 24/7, right? He's always acting like an asshole. Maybe he is just an asshole, but
yes, but he's by himself right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's nobody to impress.
Yeah, there's no one to impress. And he does take the photo, obviously, because we have seen it. But I don't know if after, as with the movie goes on, we kind of get these snippets of him thinking about this moment later in life, like as his career goes on, he'll think about it, but it kind of adds different elements to it, different, more emotional elements. And ultimately, in the end, we'll see one last scene where he's thinking about that day and we see him just crying over Euronymous.
And or over Dead. But again, I do like that about this movie. Now, we don't know. You know, we don't know.
It's
possible that he was just an asshole.
Correct.
But I tend to think how they portrayed this makes more sense. Like, this is just a guy that he himself wanted to be accepted. He also wanted to be a famous musician. He tried to play a character.
Yep.
It just spiraled out of control.
Yep.
You know, I don't think it's that unbelievable. Like, posing your friend's corpse and taking a picture is fucking ridiculous. there's nothing I can say to justify that, but I can justify feeling bad about it afterwards.
Yeah, you know, like, and I do
you're
think
young and I, stupid.
Yeah. I do think too. I think human beings in general are pretty good. Like we're not. It's really like to be evil is rare. I think it's kind of more rare than we think to be completely evil. I imagine maybe he took the photo at first and was like, oh yeah, I'm metal. And then was like, what the fuck did I just do? Like, and then really it hit him.
Right. And that's not, not unusual. We've all done things and then immediately you're like, holy shit. Like, why did I just do that?
Yeah.
That
like, are you fucking terrible? Like, I am a piece of shit.
Yeah. I mean, that's right. Cause there's things that I've done like 2 decades ago that I still think about. And like, oh my God, like, why did I do that? Like, I should call people and apologize.
Dude, I agree completely. So that's a brutal scene. We see him take the photos and they get them developed and we see Hellhammer and Necro Butcher come over and he's showing them the pictures and they're just kind of like, all right, man, like, cool, I guess.
Especially Necro Butcher. He's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And Necro Butcher quits the band right now because Euronymous pulls out necklaces and he's like, yeah, now Dead's always with us. And Necro Butcher's like, what the fuck are you trying to say, man? Like, I love the doubt. Like, he just knows. Like, he's like, what is up? Like, what? Like, what? When you're vague like this, I know you're doing something terrible. And sure enough,
I was gonna say, so it's fragments of Dead's skull, but later on in the movie, and I wanted to ask you this, he's like, hey Varg, it's just a fucking piece of chicken meat or chicken bone.
Yep.
And do you think that's likely the case?
I think I don't know, because the mythos is so burned into it and there's parts of it that I want to believe in a way. Not that I want to believe that he took this guy's skull fragments, but like, I don't know. I kind of feel like maybe he did. I feel like if you're willing to take a photo of your friend dead and pose him while he's dead, I also tend to believe you might take it. However, I don't think he gave a piece to Varg.
Okay. All right. That's interesting. I've always had doubt about, like, the older I got, about him taking the skull fragments, because it's a fucking crime scene.
Yeah.
I feel like he would have been taken in. And even the posing, the guns and stuff, like, maybe he moved the gun, but I highly doubt he touched anything else.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. Like, again, there's parts of it, like, I don't want to destroy the mythos that I know. Because it's just crazy. Those stories are crazy. But yeah, I mean, I could see either. I don't know. Yeah. I definitely don't think he gave Varg one though. By all accounts, everyone hated this kid Varg, and like, he let him in the band just to basically keep him closer because he was gaining a lot of traction and a lot of a lot of like street cred, right? And I think,
yes.
So I think he was probably like we said, like, I do believe he was upset at Euronymous's death. And I think even if he did take the skull fragments, it really was as like, hey, man, like, that's my buddy. Like, you know what I mean? And I don't think he would have just given them away. Like,
sure.
I think maybe he gave them to the band and they were like, I don't fucking want this. but I think if, like, for Var, he was like, you can't have like a piece of dead, like, fuck you, like, I'll just tie up this wishbone and you'll be dumb enough to be like, wow.
That's true.
Like, it probably looked like a straight up chicken wing bone and
like a drumstick.
Yeah, and Varg was just like, wow, what an honor. I believe that way more. But yeah, I don't know. Regardless, I don't know. So, you know, time goes by. Euronymous ends up opening a record store. And I love that they did finally give Euronymous the Gigi Allen, that shitty Gigi Allen mustache. Yeah. That he rocked for a little while.
Yes, it's disgusting. What's the best part about him opening up his Hell record shop?
What's the best part?
Yes.
I don't know.
It's when all the black meddlers come in and the girls, and there's flowers that say good luck, honey, on like opening your store, love mom and dad, that Euronymous's parents gave him.
100%. I love that. And dude, and another part of this whole movie is all of their parents financed all of this nonsense.
All of this. Yeah. All of this.
They should
all be arrested.
Yes. That's what I was about to say. They literally were financing like crime. It was insane. And none of them were like, where does this money go? I mean, I guess they had music to show for it, but like, no offense. I mean, well,
Euronymous's record store, I mean, he had his own label and he did put a lot of bands through it, but still, I mean, it couldn't have been selling that much.
No. And there's another part of like Euronymous's thing is that record store, there was a lot of bad stuff going on at that record store. So for Euronymous to again be painted as like, oh, I don't know about that. Like, dude, it was all being like run out of your fucking record store. So, you know, your hands are dirtier than this movie leads you to believe.
Yes.
So he basically starts his empire for the black metal scene. And I love this. This is like one of my favorite scenes is he's like, I had started an empire. Nothing could stop me. And then you cut to Varg.
It cuts to Var, the best scene. I love that juxtaposition.
Yeah, it was so great. It was so perfect.
It was like, the least subtle thing I've ever seen in a movie.
No, I know. But I mean, and I don't think, I mean, I guess it's probably subtle for people that maybe don't know. Well, no, even if you don't know the story, it's like, oh, I see what's happening. but I don't even, when you know the story, it's just like, oh, fuck, like that's crazy. But yeah, Varg is moving. Closer to the scene, I guess.
Yes. And sleeping in his car.
Yeah.
Which Euronymous will visit wearing like Speedo underpants,
which is,
and then calling Varg a poser in his car. Like, Euronymous, look what the fuck you're wearing.
And I do love it. Cause like it does. I do think they paint Varg's like stupid hanger on mentality perfectly because his last interaction with Euronymous, you know, was like, that's not true metal, talking about his scorpion patch. And he walks into Euronymous's store and he's like, why do you sell this shit? I thought this place was true metal. And it's a scorpion album, right?
Right.
But it also goes to show you like, yeah, like Euronymous was always about making money. Like, and Euronymous's excuse was just like, yeah, I put that out there for the posers to find. Like throwing it back on Varg, like only a poser would pick that up. They're such stupid kids. Like, they're just dumb kids. Like, oh yeah, well, only a poser would actually touch that. And Varg's like, oh man, he's got a point.
I wish I just would go back and forth. Like, well, only a poser would know.
It's essentially what they like tried to do without making the movie boring. They were just like, everyone just calls each other.
Calling someone a poser is so stupid.
It's so ridiculous. And I do truly believe that's the entirety of why all of this happened, was everyone just calling each other posers.
It is, dude. Because none of these guys had any friends and they just wanted to be accepted. But that's what happens when you have people that don't know how to socially interact and they're all thrown into this shitty little cellar together and they're all just trying to one-up each other.
And
it was just a recipe for disaster. Around. Yeah, dude. Think about people like that were introverted and quiet. Like, this isn't me knocking them, but would you give them a fucking sword to walk around with in public? Of course not.
And then you put them all in a basement and they're all just like bringing bigger swords and like thrones.
Maces. Like posing. That's what you call those, right? The ball.
Yeah,
the
yeah. They're maces.
That's honestly the most dangerous thing you can fucking bring anywhere, because somebody's going to pick it up and swing it. Like, I don't care. Even if you brought it in like... you brought it to work, there's going to be somebody that's going to pick that up and swing that.
Yeah.
So imagine having those like available in that cellar.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Now, one thing I don't think is accurate. They paint Varg as a totally sheltered pussy that Euronymous influences, right? Which I guess isn't far. But I have heard that Varg was already way into like weird skinhead shit. Varg just wanted a group.
Varg was in a group, so he was in Old Funeral. Like, this isn't like they made it seem like he drove all this way and was like, please let me make music.
Yeah,
Varg was already making music.
Well, yeah, that's true. But I also think Varg, even as an actual youth, was looking for a, like, this is like the same reason like kids get involved in gangs, right? Like, I think Varg wanted like a family, almost. Like, I don't know what his family life was like, but
Varg, he lived in Iraq. His dad moved them there for work, and he was the only white person for a while. So I'm sure something happened to him. Probably didn't fit in well.
Yeah.
He, you know, became prejudiced or whatever. But by everything I've read, his mom and dad are pretty wealthy and were pretty around for him.
It's so weird, though. He's just always looking for acceptance. And, I mean, he was a skinhead prior to this, which they don't really talk about. But I think he was just looking for weird groups of people that would just accept him for being the weird guy he was. But these guys barely accepted him, but they finally were like, but he got famous. I guess that's really what it was, right? People started liking him, and then they were like, oh, all right.
Yeah, and people still consider Burzum's albums like pinnacles of black metal.
Yeah.
I mean, he's playing all the shit himself. There's no doubt Varg's a talented musician.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he has a hard time being accepted by anyone.
Yeah. So he also reveals that he has changed his name to Varg. And he's very adamant about it. Because, I mean, in real life, Varg is against Christianity and things like that. And because his name was Christian, he's like, I've changed my name to Varg. And Euronymous, though, like, you just see like light, like money signs with Euronymous, right? And I think that's a good way to... Because like, as soon as he says Varg, Euronymous is like, I kind of like that. Like... he's not thinking about like him as a person. He's like, I could market Varg.
Yes.
And he ultimately hears Burzum's tape. Varg gives him a Burzum demo tape, and he signs Burzum to his label. But he's like, hey, I would sign you, but I don't have any money. So good luck. and then just like any other kid looking for acceptance, Varg is like, oh, well, my mom will pay for it. and somehow, like, how does that even make sense? But Euronymous is like, all right, we have a deal then.
I mean, what? I don't understand the point of Varg doing that. Like, why not just have your mom pay for it?
Dude, because he was just such a hanger-on, right? Like, he just wanted that acceptance from that group. So he was willing to do all the work that Euronymous would have done as a label. just to be around Euronymous. Which is wild. And it seems accurate. And I also love this part because they start showing how Burzum, how Euronymous kind of tries to take control of Burzum also. And he gets him into the studio, and Euronymous' overlay, he's like, he had some really terrible ideas. And it cuts to Varg being like, I want to make the room empty and just put the mic in the middle of the room. And Euronymous is like, that's going to sound terrible. And Varg's like, that's the point. And I fucking love that so much. It's so funny.
That is what they were doing. I mean, listen to the fucking Dark Throne. That's the Dark Throne's recording microphone might have been in a separate room. For I'm serious.
Oh man. Oh, it's fucking great.
And I love. So they become. They accept him kind of, but they become like rivals trying to one up each other.
Yep.
And like, it's just a power struggle over who can control more, who can, you know, get bigger or whatever.
Yeah.
And I totally forgot the point that I was going to make with that. It was about their rivalry. Fuck. Go on.
Well, Euronymous is acting like Burzum is kind of his reaction.
And I just remembered it. I just remember what I was going to say. Burzum will go, or Varg will go on to do things. You know, that's not a spoiler to anyone.
No.
He'll go on to burn churches and stuff. And this comes up pretty soon. You know, he burns a church for his album cover.
Yep.
Which, by the way, the fact that the Norwegian police needed to do an investigation is fucking baffling. It
took 2 years. Picture.
It was on his album cover that he was selling. But anyways, like even if he didn't personally do it, he clearly knew who did because nobody else had the picture.
Right.
Whatever. From the get go, Varg's like, yeah, man, like this is evil. Like we're burning churches. And then Euronymous was like, yeah, man, we did it. And Burzum was like, what? Like we? Like I just went out and burned that church. And Euronymous just keeps like comedically saying like, yeah, man, we finally did it. Like I suggested it. And Varg's like, no, what? Like. I love that part.
Yeah, I do. And it was, again, like, Euronymous, I mean, even though, like, who would want to take credit for that? It's a credit to Euronymous's marketing. And, like, that was, I mean, from the mythos, like, when you think about that, the stories of the church burning, you just assume Euronymous is involved in it all, kind of, unless you do a little bit deeper research. Like, you just assume they were all in on it. But really, Euronymous was just trying to get his name attached to it without doing
it. Yes. Exactly. And he would call it like he did promotional tours for this. Like he would call radio stations in different countries and be like, yeah, I encourage all of this, but I don't personally do it because if I get raided, the record company will shut down.
And yeah. Like, yeah. It's crazy. And so, yeah, he's like trying to take credit for it all. And we see Varg burn down his first church. He leaves a dead rabbit at the footstep, which will come into play later. But I don't know why he does that.
Who knows?
Euronymous sees it on the news and is like, holy shit. And he knows immediately it was Varg. And he says, after the church burning, it was a competition. Whatever I did, Varg did 10 times bigger and better. And we kind of see them just, we see a little bit of a montage of them just competing and Varg taking things to extreme. Yeah, it's wild. And they invite Varg to end up, and you know, Euronymous sees the writing on the wall. Like Varg is becoming huge. Like they're talking about how he's banging all these groupies. Everyone loves Varg. So he's like, I'm gonna bring him into Mayhem, and it helps us.
Yeah, and that's how he can control Varg's success too. Yep. Now he's in Euronymous's band.
Yep, and again, like. Not a great person to be like to do that, but you know, he wanted the success that came with Varg and that just like the street cred, like Varg's an idiot and doing all these crazy illegal things, but like that's sweet if it's attached to our name, like
right. And then Euronymous eventually does accompany him to a church burning,
yeah.
Where Varg's trying to literally blow it up with a bomb, but too stupid to figure out how to work a bomb. So thankfully, Euronymous has sense and is like, hey, you know, there's paper that you can literally just
paper all over. Yeah. So they light it on fire. And my favorite, I swear to God, the director had to have been like, hey, can you make Varg's laugh as stupid as possible?
Dude, oh my God.
Dude, he's Peter Griffin. He's doing the Peter Griffin look. Varg's laughing like Peter Griffin after every church burning. It's so funny. It's so fucking funny. It cracks me up. Just running around with a church burning, being like, hey. It's awesome. We get the Faust scene. Faust,
Bard Faust was a member of Emperor.
Yep.
He is still around somehow.
These fucking Norwegian laws are unbelievable.
Unbelievable. You know, the way they portray him in the movie is pretty much, if you look up old Bard pictures, I mean, he was such a fucking loser. Now he's bald head with a goatee, but before then, he just looks like such a piece of shit weirdo.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was in Emperor, and he kills a homosexual
for
Lilyhammer.
For being a homosexual. Like, it's not that, it's for the purpose that this guy was gay, so...
This guy follows him out of a restaurant and like comes on to him, grabs his hand, like puts it on him, and then he gets stabbed to death multiple times.
And basically in the movie, they show him at one point just walking by being like, I wonder what it's like to stab somebody. It's like, what? But the accounts that I've read about it was like, everyone was like, no one even knew why Faust really did it. Everyone was like, that wasn't Faust.
Ishan said that he was always obsessed with serial killers. Yeah. Like, he would always talk about murder. Regardless, the fact is Bard killed a man, and he should be killed himself. But he's unfortunately still out there making music.
Yeah, Faust is out there, and it's fucking bizarre. It's really fucking bizarre. But in terms of the story, the reason this is...
Sean, let me ask you something. Small town in Norway, right? With very little crime rate. Churches start burning all over the town, correct? and then a man gets murdered. And there's literally only one place in town where fucking weirdos promoting Satan flock. And it's called hell. These cops are such bumbling idiots. Like, I'm not a detective by any mean, and that would be my first... Like, if somebody told me this, I'd be like, hey, why don't you go check these guys out?
Yeah, and
seems
in the
like
record
it's,
store
seems
window...
Seems like it's something they'd be into. Yeah.
The record store window has records with churches burning on it.
Yeah, exactly. It's, I don't know, man, but it seems like you might want to get a warrant.
Where to start our investigation? And I mean, ultimately, like, this collapses all around them. It doesn't take long. It takes too long for the cops to put this together, but they just self-implode, these guys. These guys just, it's insane.
That's true. And what the movie did not show is that Fenris from Dark Throne said that, like, the town folk knew. Because obviously, like what I'm saying. Like, he's like, the town folk knew. And he's like, one time I went like to downtown Oslo, like dressed in my leather. He's like, and they kicked the shit out of me. It was like right after the second church burning. Yeah, you could find that online. He's like, I could not like be seen in public for a while. He's like, I would go down dressed in like my metal studs, and like the older people would kick the shit out of me.
And the cops were like, well, no evidence. Oh, fuck. Whatever. It's just a small town, though. I don't know. Well, Faust ends up telling everyone that he did the murder. And Rory Culkin is actually a pretty good actor in this. And you could see the confliction when he's, like, thinking about what Faust is saying. But ultimately, he's like, congratulations, man. But there is an element to him where you see him being like, oh, what, like, what the fuck,
like, god damn it, what the fuck have I gotten into?
But like, he can't be like, no, because he feels like that will ruin his reputation, so he has to be like, congrats, man.
And it's ridiculous.
And unfortunately, Varg's like, let's celebrate by burning another church. Like, Vark, you burn so many churches. Is it even a celebration at this point?
Exactly. It's so funny because Bard himself is kind of like sulking at first. Like he's kind of like, what did I just do? Yeah. And Vark's like, let's go celebrate by committing more crimes. And Bard's like, oh, okay.
And also a little bit of Euronymous, like when they're talking about stabbing the guy, Euronymous is like, yeah, we did it, man. And again, Foss is like, hey, man, like, are you kidding me right now? And we see Euronymous start slipping into like this paranoia of he thinks the cops are watching him. I mean, by this point, like, how, I don't even know how many churches have been burned by this point, but a lot. A lot of churches have been burned down. And everyone's talking about it, too. Like, it's insane. And Varg is like, I want to go to the press about it. Because yeah. Varg yeah. thinks this is some type of political movement that's gonna pick up steam. And Euronymous is like, hey, man, don't do that.
Spoiler alert, he does.
Yeah.
Those newspaper, like, I would also love to like interview those guys in real life. The people, dude, that interviewed Varg.
That's what
I guarantee it went down exactly how they showed it. Like, I cannot, like, that guy must have been borderline chubbed up, being like, I can't believe I'm getting this scoop right now by this fucking idiot. And he thinks he's gonna remain anonymous.
I agree completely. Like, there's elements of this where I'm like, oh, this, like, we know enough about Varg, like, now that this makes so much more sense. This makes so much sense. This is exactly what he would have done. He's such an idiot. He's such a moron.
Yeah. Like, this, like, that reporter, I would love to talk to him, because he's probably, like, that entire time, he's probably grinning, being like, this is the break of my lifetime. Like, I'm getting this huge scoop of these unsolved crimes by this fucking moron that's putting hair over his face. And being like, hey, guess you can't guess who I am.
Yeah, and I love it, too, because, like, they point out how stupid Varg is, because when Varg calls Euronymous, he's like, I'm going to go to the press, and Euronymous is like, dude, we're all going to go to jail. What, like, what's the point? I don't understand. Like, you're not going to start a movement, because we're all just going to be in jail. And yeah. And Varg's like, well, I'll do it anonymously. And then Euronymous is like, then what's the point? Like, if you do it anonymously, no one knows it's you, so they can't join you. Like, what you're talking about is stupid. Like,
Yes. He's making sense, and Varg ultimately decides to go against it. And when he's interviewing them, he's not giving them any details at first. And the guys are like, well, what's the point of this? Like, you're wasting my fucking time. He's like, everything you've told me, we literally already know.
Yeah.
And Varg's like, well, I bet you didn't know there was a rabbit found on the front steps. And the guy's like, okay, fine. Like, tell me more. And he just spills all the beans.
Yeah.
And I said the actor that was playing Varg was a shitty actor before. But he does do a good job here, because he's like, every time he says something and the guys are like, oh, tell me more, he like sheepishly looks proud of himself. Like, yeah. Oh, these guys care about me. Like, these guys are interested. And, like, he does a good job portraying that.
He does. He does. And Varg has this elaborate setup and a throne and a sword by his side. And at this point, Varg has started going by, Count whatever.
Count Grishnak.
Grifnak. I can never pronounce it. And, or the Count.
Because they all love Lord of the Rings.
It's so stupid. And, but he's got, like, Nazi flags up, and, he set up this elaborate studio at his house to do the interview in, to look cool. Like, just for the purpose of looking cool. And like you said, they question, the journalist is so funny. The journalist, I love this. It is funny. And Varg is like, call me Gravy Grushnak. And they're like, and the guy's like, excuse me? And he says it again. And he's like, I don't know what you're saying. And Varg's just like, oh, just call me the Count. Just call me the Count. And I love it. And he's
like, when those guys leave, they just look at each other. And one of the guys is like, what a fucking moron. Yeah. Like, that's perfect. Like, the absolutely perfect.
It's so good. And you know, at this point, Varg is claiming that he's not involved. At the beginning, he's like, I'm not involved. I just know who's involved. And he's like, so how many of there are you? And Varg's like, well, there's six of us.
Yeah. And then the guy's like, yeah. Varg's like, oh, fuck. I've been foiled again.
And then again, like, Varg's like, did you notice when it happened? And the journalist is like, no. Like, what? And Varg's like, June 6th at 6 a.m. Get it? 666. The journalist is like, clever. And Varg has the biggest smile on his face. And the best part, is the journalist being like, "So you're a Satanist?" And Varg's like, "Yup." And he's like, "And a Nazi?" And Varg's like, "Yup." And the guy's like, "That's a pretty broad belief system, don't you think?"
And that's what I was saying earlier in the episode. Like, right. That guy calls him out on it. And Varg's just like, well, you know.
Isn't that so metal? Isn't that so evil? Like, it really is just kids trying to combine the most evil, like, things. Even if it makes no sense whatsoever. The journalist is like, whatever. Like, and Varg also fesses up to being involved in that murder in Lilyhammer. And the reporter's like, what the fuck? Like... Fucking idiot.
Yeah, now the reporter is like totally chubbed up. He's like, holy shit, like, yeah, you just fucked yourself, kid, and you made me famous.
So, yeah, like, and of course Varg is arrested like the next day. It's so perfect.
They all are. Frost is, Sammoth from Emperor. When Emperor releases their first album, three of the four members are currently serving jail time.
It's crazy. And they get out. Like, it's fucking crazy.
Well, yeah, because this is like the first crime spree Norway's ever had.
And they're also like, it's crazy because multiple times after Varg gets out of this, like, everyone's like, yeah, they had nothing on Varg. It's like, what? What do you mean? What do you mean?
They had a recorded confession and his album cover. I mean, it's literally everything you could possibly have on Varg.
Yeah. And we see Varg revealing that he wants to... or Euronymous is just super pissed about all of this happening. And Varg's in court. And half-heartedly, you know... Euronymous tells, was it Faust or was it somebody else? It might have been somebody else. Because Faust would have been, it doesn't matter. He tells,
it's either Faust or Blackthorn.
Yeah, one of his lackeys that was just hanging around him at the time. He's like, I'm going to tase him. I'm going to fucking kill him. I'm going to make a snuff film about it. Which, like, he's saying because Varg is being fucking interrogated and it's clearly going to ruin everything. Like, and already has ruined everything. Like, just by that interview.
Right.
Has ruined everything. So he's pissed. Well.
Yeah, Euronymous saying that is honestly the most justifiable thing he said in this, like, last hour.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So his lackey tells Varg's lackey. And then ultimately, that's how this gets back to Varg. And it's weird. So.
So, I mean, this is the end.
Let's just get to this scene, right? So
it's mostly what Sean just said. He informs Varg. Varg makes up his mind that he's going to kill Euronymous. Euronymous isn't planning on killing Varg, supposedly. He just wants to come up with a written contract that says Burzum can have the rights to Burzum. And, like, they're no longer affiliated.
Yep. Take the money. We're done.
Varg comes up with this shitty alibi, asking his friend if he's ever seen Die Hard 2, because that's what they're going to say they watched together. His friend says, yes, I've seen it. That comes into play because the guy has not seen it, which is really fucking funny. And I'm pretty sure that is exactly what happened. So he has Blackthorn is the guy's shitty metal name, drive him. And they were supposed to leave Varg's credit cards at the house. And somebody at the house was going to use Varg's credit cards. So when the police, you know, were like, where were you? He's like, oh, I was at home. Look at my credit card account. But they didn't have enough gas. So they ended up having to use Varg's credit card. They drive him to Euronymous's house. And this is the infamous end of the Mayhem chapter. Nobody truly knows how the interaction went down. Because there are people that back up Varg. That's like Euronymous wanted to kill Varg. And like he was going to kill him when he got there. What likely happened is probably how the movie played out. Mm-hmm. Varg went there, stabbed the shit out of him because Varg's a piece of shit, and then drank chocolate milk.
Which is Varg's big complaint about the movie. And you know what, though? Varg is such an idiot and a liar. I could also see him drinking the chocolate milk and just fucking being upset about it. I don't know. He's such an idiot.
Sure. But the thing is, there's only two people in the world that would know if that actually happened. And one of them's dead and one of them's saying it didn't. And I just don't understand the point of putting that in the movie other than I'm going to piss Varg off.
Right. Right. Oh, and guess what? That's probably what it was. And I'm okay with it. I'm totally okay with it. Yeah, and you know, Euronymous is really playing. This is really like, they really play that Euronymous was just trying to be a good guy at this point. He was done. He just wanted to move on and make music. Which, if he is the master marketer that he is, like, it makes sense. By all accounts, like, everyone thought that Euronymous was kind of a pussy and like didn't partake in anything. Yeah. So I truly believe this makes a lot more sense, this how they portrayed the murder of Varg slipping into this weird Varg like paranoia of just like, he's gonna kill me, and like everyone being like, like even the lackey's like, yeah, Varg, I don't really think he is. Like, like I really don't think that's what's gonna happen. Like, that doesn't really make sense. Like, he asked you to just mail the contract back to him. Like, that's the end of it. And Varg's like, and again, like, Varg in YouTube videos, like, in the end, it's like, in the letter that Euronymous wrote him, it says, like, hopefully we can be friends one day, and, like, you know, we'll see each other around, so we'll be friends or whatever. And you see Varg reading it, and he's like, friends, what does that mean? And if that seems insane, it is. And also, Varg talks about that constantly. And Varg's like, Varg in interviews is like, he wrote friends in it, and you know what that means. He was trying to kill me. Varg says that constantly. He's like, yeah, only the only person that would write that is somebody trying to kill you.
So, and it's fitting, because that's honestly the mentality of somebody that has no fucking friends,
right?
Doesn't know the concept of friendship,
right. So I do truly believe Varg just like is a complete idiot and read that and was like, what a jerk. Like Euronymous was finally growing up and was like moving on, and Varg's like, what a liar. He's just trying to murder me. And even in the like Varg's confession, well, multiple ones, one of his many stories is he went over just to talk with a knife. Yes. With a knife in case Euronymous tried to kill him. And then he said, and this is how they kind of portray it. Euronymous is like, hang on, I got to go get a pen. And in Varg's confessions, he's like, he went in to go grab the gun that Dead used to kill himself, and he was going to kill me with it. And then Varg in the same story is like, yeah, but he didn't have that gun. So turns out he didn't have a gun or a knife in his house.
Varg also claims to this day that most of Euronymous's stab wounds were caused by broken glass.
Oh, which, my God. I
mean, anybody with a fucking brain knows that's not the case. Like, which is probably why that doesn't hold any weight, because the police are like, no, he was stabbed 21 times with a fucking knife. You can tell a difference.
Varg's story is Euronymous was rolling around in broken glass. Like, Varg, that doesn't even make sense. And then
I do love that the movie doesn't even show any, there's like nothing that would have been broken that he could have punctured.
No, and it makes sense, right? You're watching, you're like, this is definitely how it went down. Like, in Varg's stories, it's always like, yeah, he was rolling around in broken glass, but I forgot my car keys, so I had to go downstairs and get them. And he's like, but I stabbed Euronymous in the head just to finish it off, and then, you know, then I left. It's like, Varg, why?
Which that point right there is just, that's a confession to murder. Like yeah, maybe even if Euronymous was rolling around in glass, you still finished him off.
Right. That's
still a crime. You could have
left him like that. Like, if
you could have called 911. Yeah. You murdered him. That's him off is a problem.
Your self-defense. You didn't need any more self-defense for if he was rolling around in broken glass. It's insane. Well, obviously Varg's caught because it's the worst crime. It's like the most poorly planned crime of all time, and everyone gets arrested,
and they interrogate his friend. He's like, so what'd you do last night? He's like, I watched Die Hard 2. And he says, what's the movie about? He's like, some guy dying hard twice.
I'm not sure. And in the end, you know, they do like a really kind of a solemn ending to show, you know, like Euronymous died and what for basically nothing. And Euronymous interrupts it and is like, stop this sappy shit. I'm Euronymous. I created true Norwegian black metal. I created mayhem. What the fuck have you done lately, poser? Which, regardless of, you know, who Euronymous really was, probably would have said that. Like,
agreed. Agreed.
And that's it. This is like our longest episode of all time, by the way.
Yeah.
But there was a lot to talk about.
I didn't mind talking. If I didn't have to go to the dentist in 15 minutes, I would continue to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's no lie. Definitely not a typical horror show, but this, we love this. And it's a common chain that has kept me and Joe friends for quite a while, was listening to Mayhem and talking about Mayhem and putting it on at parties to piss people off.
Yeah.
Do you remember that party where we got threatened? Like, I forget who it was, but he was, we kept putting it on. We kept changing the iPod.
So you have to be more specific, because I can also speak on to a time when this guy was doing lines of cocaine on my bar table, and I kept putting on Cock and Ball Torture. And like his last bump, he was like, "If you put that on one more time, I'm gonna break your fucking jaw." I mean, this guy was huge; he could have done it too. But nonetheless, I put it back on. But yeah, that sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah, we were at Sleep's house in the basement, and I forget if it was Burzum or Mayhem, but you were like, "You want to put it on?" And I was like, "Yeah, let's do it." And it was like you, me, and Paul, and we would put it on. And people would get so upset. But we were doing it like, and like kind of like hiding away after we would change it. Like, we were nearby, but just pretending like we were talking. And obviously it was us. Like, we were the only people that listened to that. It was you, me, and Paul. And finally Sleeps was like, "Quit fucking changing the music." And we were like, "Oh yeah, man, it wasn't us." We did it like three more times. And finally, like, one of his big stooges came up to us and was like, "If you fucking do that again, I'm gonna fucking kill you." I'm like, all right, fair enough. Dude, they were all trying to impress girls, and we were putting on Mayhem.
Yeah, it sounds vaguely familiar. Do you remember that Crash Test Dummy song?
Yes.
Dude, I played that like six times in a row, and some guy honestly, like, yelled at me with like tears in his eyes. Like, he was so upset about hearing it. And then the next time we had a party, I made a mix. You know, remember you could make mix CDs, you could choose the tracks.
Yeah.
I made every track that song and took away all the other CDs. So that was the only CD available to play. So when people would like hit the skip button, it would just start all over again. And people were losing their fucking mind.
Oh man. That's so, yeah, we are. I guess that Mayhem party is pretty accurate. All right. Well, we'll pick a movie later, Joe. You got to head out of here.
Yeah, man. I gotta run, so I apologize. Sean did ask me to do a Patreon bonus about my favorite black metal, so I'm just going to play some songs for you.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll put that up. So Facebook.com/IHateHorror, IHateHorror.com. I'm at Instagram at IHateHorror, Joe's Boognish 1985. Check him out. He's got the music podcast. And for Joe, this is Sean. Stay weird.
Thank you.
Adios.
Zombie getting sliced and diced. A monster.
Mutilate. And butcher. That's it, guys.